fellowship. And hope you have your handout. We're going to go through that. And on the bulletin here and on the slide, you see that they devoted themselves. And there are four things I want you to take a look real quick. They devoted them to apostle teaching. That's one. Fellowship. Breaking bread, which we will do that a little bit. That's communion. And also prayer. Who are we talking about? It said they. They refer to a brand new church. And if you go back a verse or two, you see there are 3,000 people. This is a brand new church. And we want to take a look at what the four things they continue. Today we're just going to concentrate on the word fellowship. But where did these people come from? Well, the book of Luke wrote this, not a book of Luke, but Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. I want you to bring it back to Acts 1st chapter, and you notice that Jesus was resurrected, and there were about 500 people down there watching Jesus ascended. And he told them that, I want you to start in Jerusalem, and I want you to spread the gospel throughout the whole world, but I want you to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit come. So they did. So they went back to Jerusalem. We're talking about the 12. Well, at this time, they only have 11 apostles, and about 120 other followers were staying behind. And then Peter said, you know what? We need to replace one of the guys who hanged himself, and they threw a lot. So now they have 12, the guy named Matthias. And then all of a sudden, in chapter 2, there was a huge sound like a tornado and a rushing wind, and 12 apostles received a special Holy Spirit. Not the kind of Holy Spirit that you and I received. This is another sermon, another day. But I want you to understand that as they got this power, and tons of people started showing up, and they were shocked to hear it in their own language. There's 9 different languages they're able to speak. That means if I ever received that special Holy Spirit, without the training, I can do Japanese, Russia, Chinese, French, without learning. Would that be kind of cool? And then Peter went ahead and started preaching the sermon, and I think there might have been 10, 20,000 people gathered around, and they're listening to Peter and the rest of the apostles sharing the gospel. Then all of a sudden, they interrupt Peter and say, wait, Peter, we are convicting the heart, and we recognize that Jesus is the Lord. We believe. What shall we do? Then Peter went on and said, well, if you repent, meaning changing your life and start following him, and be baptized, which is a water immersion, that the two things, one, it helps to receive the forgiveness of sin from the day you were born, the day that you're born again, which is the water baptism, and when you come out of the water of your grave, you also receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a different Holy Spirit that helped live within you. And we found that 3,000 people were baptized. So this is a brand new church. And they continue to do four things. So we're going to concentrate on the fellowship. So what is fellowship? The word koinonia, it has something to do with a definition called sharing. Talk about partnership, teamwork. I asked someone of my friends, I said, what is the opposite of fellowship? Some say isolation, loneliness, separation. Last month I took a trip up to Seattle for Clear Lake, which is going to be happening this summer. Those of you who are in grade school from 4th to high school, hope you join us. It'll be in July 7th to 12th. I'll be there, and we're going to recruit some of these guys up there. And I'll be speaking, doing drama, and they'll dunk me in the water. We had a lot of fun up there. I'll probably bring my hammer there just to keep them in line. And so it was early in the morning, Saturday. We had a meeting up in Seattle, and one of the guys sitting right behind me. They didn't let me drive. I don't know why. Just because I can't see doesn't mean I have no ability to drive. I keep telling people, I have no driver accident or speeding ticket in 30 years. That should stand for something, right? Yeah, I'll get to you later. I don't know what you're talking about. And so here he is. We got this guy behind me named Jimmy Kennedy. He's part of the worship, kind of like what Charles does at a church in Minnehaha. And I go, Jimmy, what is the opposite word of fellowship? He kicked his feet way back and closed the eyes. He said, sleep. And sleep he did all the way up in Seattle. And Mike, his dad, are driving, rise and shine, we're here. But that is true. So fellowship talk about connection, talk about working together and sharing. So look at the next verse on your outline on the slide. You notice that they were awestruck the things that happened. And especially they saw the wonder and the sign that would happen by the 12 apostles. They were just blown away by this. And notice that they were all together. Now I want you to circle. If you got a pen, circle. The outline of your paper you got there, I want you to start circling and make note then. So I want to see the key word of fellowship. You see, they're all together, and they were, have everything in common. What did they have in common? Well, they all had their sin washed away. They served the Almighty God. Their sin has been forgiven, and there's grace, and their brothers and sisters, they're the family of God. They're together, and notice the reaction that they all have something in common. They meet together. Notice they start selling their property and possession to those who are in need. I need to make this footnote here. Some people use this verse to see, this is why we need to have social and communist government. No. They have nothing to do with it. Because the very next verse, he said, will go to their own home. I want you to understand that at this point, you have 3,000 people in the city of Jerusalem with a brand new church. They had three different kind of celebrations. This was the main one. This is grand of all. That's like, of all the sport, our grand celebration, Super Bowl. Well, this is the Super Bowl of the feast, and there are 2-3 million people in Jerusalem. They travel all over the country to come to this festivity. And when the apostle received their special gift, it's on Pentecost. And here they are, they're brand new Christian, and they didn't want to go home because there's no church out there yet. And so they have no place to go, they have no food. So these people who are at home, they sold their possession, and they sold their property so they can meet the people in need. Now, if you look a couple of verse chapter down in the book of Acts at the end of chapter 4, you see they still stole their property, but some scholars said by the time you read chapter 4, the 3,000 got converted up to 20 or 25,000 people. And that's the only time we see people selling their property because the needs are important, because if you look at the other church later, like Colossians, Corinthians, Ephesians, it's not mentioned there. So this is a special time, a special need. Now, if you're called to sell your property, go for it. I just want 10%. That's all. We've got a deal on that one. And so we see that they're meeting need here. And you imagine we about have 100 people here. And let's say the explosion happened here. Next week we have 500. And by the time Easter coming around, we have 3,000 people. Can you see 3,000 people in this place? Wow. You talk about excitement and the change. And we'll see a lot of miraculous things happen because people's lives are changed and grown and celebration. It's incredible. And not only they were sharing their property and possessing, notice here that every day they meet. Now I want to circle that the meeting again at the temple court, which we call the church. Every day, not once a week, once a month, they were excited. They're celebrating. And they continued. They break bread, which is a meal, and they ate together. Circled it together. See, they notice the fellowship. Not only did they share with stuff, they work together. And we like the food part of that, don't we? And it's biblical, so it's okay to eat together. And that, we call that fellowship. And notice that when they ate together, three things happened. The attitude. One, they were glad and sincere heart when they're together. There's no fighting. There's no argument. They were just enjoying one another. I want to circle the praising the Lord. Because in that conversation, when they were sharing their possession and helping people, and they're having fun with food and stuff, their subject was praising God. And notice, now you probably see the outline, I underlined the emphasis on glad, sincere heart, and in the next verse we see that they were enjoying the favor of one another. That fellowship. Now, I'm going to try to convince and challenge you today that my focus is that today we have these four common things. We have our apostle teaching, that's what I'm doing here. We have a little bit of fellowship, and we will be breaking the Lord, and we have prayer. But that's just the appetite. You're not going to get your main course here. Your main course is in the middle of the week doing these kind of fellowship, including small group. And I want to convince you and show you why this small group and fellowship and working is so critical of our life. I heard a story that this is kind of true, that many years ago, when baby was born in a hospital, it's not uncommon that when you have a baby born, they put him in another room for a while. This is baby Joe. Say hi. Say hi. Don't you dare pee on me, okay? I don't know how to change diaper. Gabe, if this happened, you get to change diaper on this little gal. So anyway, what happened is when they get the baby delivered, they put this baby into another room, and the mom don't have any connection. See, I want to talk about the critical of the touch, of the connection, to the hug part. And they found out that when the baby is alone for many, many hours, and they don't have a connection with their mom, the baby starts dying. And they discover, wait, the baby need that touch. They need that love. They need to be affection. And that's the way God designed. Cindy, my wife, did some more research. They said even if you deliver the baby and send them away for 3 or 4 hours, have a profound negative effect on the baby. So we are designed to touch. That's my nose, little girl. I wave at the crowd. Now, I know I need to put the baby down, and she needs the connection. Any volunteer to hold the baby while she needs that warm? I'm not going to give it to Jerry. He'll slobber all over the poor baby. Anybody like to take it? I'm going to give it to my wife and pass it on. I want to make sure the baby gets some kind of connection. Any give? Huh? There you go. And I want it back next time. And not only that, we found out that research that if the baby don't have the connection, we found out those who are a senior citizen who live alone and you don't have that connection with people, they die early. You see, you need to understand that we need that connection. I understand some more research that discovered that when you are depressed, most people isolate themselves. That's the worst thing you can do. When you're down and out and depressed, what you need to be among with group and get that connection, because that gives us some healing. We're not designed to be alone, but yet in our society, we want to be alone, we don't want to be bothered, and it's not the way it's set up. God works as a fellowship. The scripture I just showed you, they were together, they were a fellowship, and they have everything in common. They're working with people. God never designed for us to be by myself. And when you're by yourself, guess what? You get more depressed. The solution in our feeling down is get with other people who encourage you and lift you up. I found out that one of the reasons why many of the young men in school leave the family and join the gang, and one of the primary reasons why we have our young people join the gang, because that's the only place they feel accepted. You ever been in a school and people reject you because you don't have the right clothes, the right look, you don't have the right intelligence, the right culture? And we are just starving for someone to, hey, you notice me? And I've been told that those who have smartphones, they do this selfie thing, right? Everybody says, look at me over here. Why? We want that attention. We want to be loved just to who we are. And yet they can't find that in school. So these guys join the game because they accept them just as they are. And that's the reason why they get in trouble. They're willing to break the law because they don't want to lose the family. They finally found a group that accepts them who they are. Well, I was in grade school and junior high. I'm one of those people that you guys probably remember. I don't know if it still happens today, that in PE where everybody lined up, you get to pick the team one by one. And some of you had that experience of you're the last one that got picked. How did that make you feel? It doesn't make you feel good. And I wasn't one of those. I wanted to play very good in sports, so I needed a captain or the first one to get picked. But just to let you know that I still get picked on because I was wearing hearing aids. And just because I wear a hearing aid and talk funny, they give them the license to put me down and attack me. And I'm sure not one of you in this room never experienced that. You feel rejected, and you're not welcome. And we work so hard that we want to fit in. Take me who I am. And that's the beauty of the church, because we take everybody in. God loves all of you. And so when you come in the family of God, we love you just as you are. You don't have to change your clothes or change your hair. I mean, some of you have hair, some of you have no hair, and some of you are wearing somebody else's hair. And we still take you. This is real hair and a real cutter, if you're asking me about that. And so in this fellowship, it's so critical that we need to be wanted. Let me give you two great illustrations right here in this church. I'm going to pick on Bob Bemis. I don't know if he's here. He's Lori's dad. A couple years ago, I was in the back of my shed, building a shed in the back of my yard. It's about 7 feet wide and 12 feet long. And you're thinking, Matt, you're blind. Yes, I still have on my finger, those who wonder. I thought, why would a blind guy run the tape saw? That's just what I do. See, I'm trying to convince if I can run the tape saw, I should be able to drive. Right, Rich?
Sure.
See it?
It's not my drive.
He little face when I'm working on him. He's Nick. But anyway, I'm working on this shed, and the last part I got to do is the roof. And Bob had many years experience, so I got to see him at that church and said, tell me more about the roofing thing, because I'd done it before, but it's always good to know anything new. And he said, how about this? We'll come over and help you. And so the rain stopped. He came over and got all the tools. He brought his son Kevin, and he's able to put it together in 2 hours. It was a great time. Matter of fact, I could do it, but it'd take me 2 days, but I'd rather have him come, because with that commitment and that sharing, he was helping. I got to know Bob. And Cindy and I, my wife, went to visit their house, Helen, and we fellowshiped for a couple more hours. And anyway, I got to know him even better because we were sharing life and understand what he's like. That would not happen if we just did it on Sunday. And because of that connection, we become closer friends. And I just enjoy hanging out with Bob because he's willing to come out. He's 80 years old, and he's working on my roof. Matter of fact, he wouldn't let me get on there. It's my roof. You stay down here, okay. And he got to, and it was great. That's what I call the gift of fellowship. It was wonderful. Another person that I got a chance because of the midweek fellowship, and this is where my brother Rich, I always tease him, he's up there playing the drum. He gets upset if I don't wave at him. When he come in, he does this. If I don't wave, he gets depressed. So I come in and said, where is he? So I gave him a double blessing. I did this to him, okay? And see, when Rich comes here and part of the church, I did not know him well. I see him here every Sunday. He's working, and he's part of the setup, and a great guy. But it wasn't until last fall that we had a midweek Bible study at the Sherry. I got to know Rich better. I got to see his passion, his commitment, his area that he's struggling and victory and his passion for Christ. And through that morning each week, I got to know him as my brother, and he gets to know a little bit about me. That's fellowship. That's the kind of fellowship we're talking about. We are connecting. Matter of fact, last month he started picking me up and bringing me to the meeting. And every time I get in, I say, it's my turn to drive. He said, I haven't checked my insurance yet. Nick, is it my turn to drive? I didn't get permission from my wife yet. He got all kind of, I'm thinking that a month or two I'm going to get him. But don't tell his wife because he'll ban him to pick me up, you know. Gabe got me last week. Oh, right. Gabe came by and picked me up, and he said, hop in. It's my turn to drive. He said, yeah, this is a foreign car. Good line. But the point is, because of Bob and Rich and our Bible study, I got to know them, who they are. That doesn't happen here. Now, we need this fellowship, but it's an appetite. I was debating bringing a bowl of potato chip, and I'm under addiction to late potato chip. And many of you are probably the same bowl. I was thinking, put one bowl at each table, one of you volunteered to eat one potato chip, and you can't touch the rest. The rest of you get the hammer and smack your finger if you try to eat some more, right? You just can't eat just one. Well, if you only come here on Sunday morning, you only have one chip, and that's it, then your tummy will growl the rest of the week. So the rest of the meal is through the midweek of fellowship. That's where you get filled. Back in 1988, I went to this camp that I'm going every year, and I was just doing a Bible college, and they asked me to come and speak at the fireside for the very first time. And the Bible director the next morning shared, because at that time I had tunnel vision, and I was sharing with kids about 150, I'm going blind. My hearing's not that good, but God's still using me. I'm not bothered by that, because somehow God's just going to make it more powerful in my situation. And Myron Well, who the Bible director camp, pulled me aside the next morning and said, you need to take this message and go across the country and say, what? I don't know how to do that. Sure enough, I launched and went up and down the coast, traveled all over the country, just sharing my message. And one thing I love about traveling, I say to people home, never met them before. But because we have something in common, Christ Jesus, fellowship almost every time was sweet. It was encouraging, and we shared life. I love it. I enjoy teaching, but I enjoyed more at fellowship with these brothers and sisters that I stayed at the home. Now that I travel with my wife, one of our favorite places we'd like to go is Coos Bay. There's a church down there. And we stayed at home with a preacher named Ed and Sharon Warren. And we love going there. They open their home. We love their cooking and their fellowship and praising God. And every time we leave, we said, I can't wait to get back. But we won't be able to do that because Brother Ed, a few years, went home. But that fellowship was sweet. It was awesome. And that's why it's important for us to be in that fellowship. And I want you to notice something else as you look at the fellowship. The next verse, you see that the Lord added daily. See, I was talking to Kyle, who's going to start the church, and we were discussing this about a month ago. I agree, it's not our preaching or Kyle preaching that grow the church. It is this fellowship that I talked about. Look at the explosion. Look how they touch people's lives. It's through your connection, because people see that you're having life working with other people. Take a look at the next verse here to talk about Corinthians 12:26, and this is where the hammer part comes out, because the very first verse, it says, if one of you have pain, the rest of the body feel it, right? And one of you had been honored, the rest of us rejoice with you. Now, if I put my finger right here and I get ready to smash it, and I don't think I like this idea. Any volunteer? Jerry want to do this? Why everybody picking on Jerry? I got an idea. Just imagine that this is your little finger, and so when I hit this, I want you to scream out, what would you, don't give me the wimpy, ow. Give me the, this is a 100% participate. Tell me what would you, can't curse, okay? This is the family, all right? Tell me what would it sound, all right? Now, work with me on this, right? When I do this, I want to hear you. Here we go. Here's my, this is my finger I'm sacrificing you, my, all right? I hate doing this, but we'll demonstrate. Here we go. You whiner. Now, question. This little guy is hurting. My right little toe is so far away. Does he care that it's hurting? Oh, yeah. The whole body ache. I was supposed to, well, I did preach before Thanksgiving. I had a root canal bother me that week. The worst pain is right there. It's here. Oh, your whole body feel that. That only happens if you get in a small group and understand what people are going through their pain and suffering. It's through our fellowship that we can recognize it, because the church describes it as the body of Christ. We're all part of the members, and we all connect. It doesn't any good if I just cut my right hand and say, okay, you're on your own. No, we need each other. We need that connection. Here's the part that we don't do well. I'm going to challenge you. The second part said, when somebody is honored, we should rejoice. That's the hard part. Can I confess that? 25 years ago, we were at a Christmas party, and we had about 30, 40 people in the house, and wanted a couple go to Hawaii every year for 2 weeks. He's making $150,000. He can do it, but he whispered to me and told me that's where his family's going. But watch this. He did not let the rest of the congregation know about it. You know why? Me and Dan will feel jealous, envy. I wish I was there. You're not demonstrate honoring, are we not? And so if somebody promotes ahead of you, and somebody in the church is doing well and health-wise and whatnot, we need to say, amen. And don't get caught up like, oh, man, why not me? No, because we're a body of Christ. So we need to, when somebody's hurting, be with them. If somebody's doing well, honor. That's who we are. Now, let me try to zero it in a bit more proof why we need this small fellowship. That tree? Oh, it fell down. Sorry. That's what I get for overreacting to hammer. Now, let me show you this. This is a Christmas tree. Imagine this is a healthy tree. The top of the tree, in order for it to grow, it needs air and sunshine. That represents our body, our Bible study, and prayer. Okay? Without the air, without the sunshine, it won't grow. So without our personal Bible study and prayer, it will grow. But also, it needs a root. The root represents connection to people. It needs water and mineral. These combinations cause the tree to grow healthy. If I put the tree and put it in the ground to have no water, no mineral, will it grow very well, even though I have all the air and sunshine? No. If I put the root in the most luscious mineral and water, but no sun, no air, will it grow? So I want you to understand that in order to be a healthy, mature Christian, the fellowship is part of the root that we need to be in the middle of the week. Now, some of you, if you only come here on Sunday alone, and you might come here and hear the box, wow, I look great, but inside, what will you really look like? Some of you remember Charlie Brown Christmas tree? Yeah, you're somewhat alive, and you still have a little bit of lead, but we want you to become, take from here to here. That only happened if we dealt with fellowship and followed Christ. Does that make sense? Let me close with this illustration and we'll move to the communion. When I was in high school, I played sport. And one of the games I loved is football. Now, before school starts, we have what they call 2 weeks of boot camp. We had to get up 6 in the morning and put on a helmet, and we do all the exercise. And then in the afternoon, we had to come back again and do some more exercise. And by the time day 3, we put on the full gear. By that time, my body going, ow, ow. And when I get up the next morning, my flesh said, let's stay in. Can we skip one day? No, we had to discipline. And so I had to do that for 2 weeks. I had to sweat and exercise and work and work. And finally, the last week, the third week before the game, we had school. We had one practice. And by that time, we got the play down. We're working together and at the teamwork. And Friday night, I step on the field with my uniform and I'm ready to go. The chances are I will do fine on the game. I would be able to survive the whole fourth quarter because I've been trained and prepared and readiness. That's what small group does for you. It helps you get through life. What if I decide not to show up at any of those practices and miss all 3 weeks and then just put on their uniform and I said, okay, I'm ready to go. I probably wouldn't last 5 seconds. Just one hit, I'm on the ground. I could be hurting the team. I could be hurting myself. Life's that way. And some of you here right now are feeling worn out. Could you not get that morning midweek fellowship where you get encouragement, where you get confront, where you get the teaching? Because some of you guys, well, this week has been busy. I can look at your schedule that Monday you have to get up early, you got to take the kids to the work and come home, you got to do shopping, your refrigerator broke down, and 2 days later your car broke down, and you got to run here and there. And in other words, your week is just so busy, and by the time you show up at the church, you're going, I'm tired. Where's the power? Where's the energy? Because I just read the scripture where they got together with glad, with joy. And you only find that. And that's why I want to challenge you today to take this card and write down that, you know, I want to be part of the small group. On the bulletin, there's some group going on right now. But if it doesn't work for you, we can start a new group, maybe just for the mom or just for the young dad. And write down the schedule so Pastor Dave can look at maybe it worked for you in the morning, afternoon, or in the evening. We can meet at home or business or a restaurant. It doesn't matter. What's important is you got to be involved. We want you guys to mature. You see, the devil either makes you sin or makes you get busy. Some of you say, my life is too busy for this. No, you need this. So I challenge you, if you're not involved, try it for 90 days and see how it works. We're going to have the praise team come up as we move toward the communion time. But I want you to be thinking about that our goal as a preacher and teacher, that we want you guys to have a full-grown, healthy relationship with Jesus, and that include Bible and prayer, and also the fellowship of brothers and sisters. And that's the only way I got to know Bob and Red, and many other youth people are committed. It's so fun to work with other people who come and help me out in different projects and sharing food and everything about praising God. That is awesome. But if you notice that not only fellowship is a key ingredient, they also devoted what? In communion, breaking the bread. And we here at the Branch, we do it every Lord's Day. Granted that my wife and I were traveling on vacation, it's not very uncommon that we visit at a church and they don't do communion. And every time they don't do communion, then they said, okay, here we go again. Because right after church, I'll go right to the preacher. I said, do you guys serve communion? Oh, we do it once a quarter, maybe once a month, once a year. And here's what I'll tell them. I bring up this Act 2:42, it said, these brand new churches devote themselves to 4 things. I said, based on your logic, because their logic said, well, why you only do it once in a while? Because we don't want to lose the meaning, the effectiveness. You know, we don't want to lose the specialness. So if we only do it once in a while, and when we do it, become powerful and meaningful. Okay? Are you willing to do that and preach only once a month? Because, hey, we don't want the people to fall asleep in your sermon, do we? And we only should do it once a month because when you do your sermon, it's got punch. Okay? hey, we should only have a fellowship once a month because, hey, the people might, you know, I have to hang out with Jerry every week. And, you know, I get kind of, oh, I don't want to hang out with him. It wore out. No, he won't do that. I said, well, maybe we should only pray once a month because it might lose the effect and the power. Because we should pray very little because if we pray once a month and when we do pray, nobody falls asleep and they say, wow. No. So I asked the preacher, why do you do this on communion? Well, that's why we do it. And so there's communion on your table there. And the reason why we do the communion is, another word for koinonia, this is another fellowship. Amen. To remember what Jesus did on the death, burial, and resurrection. And usually, communion is only for the baptized believer. But if you're here and you're not baptized, you're welcome to participate. But we also not only invite you and challenge you people to be in a fellowship, a small group, but those who are not Christian, we invite you to become a Christian. You see, the good news, the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ, who is God, became man, who lived the life that we should live, amen, but died the death that we should die. But after 3 days, he rose again, proving that he's the Son of God, and offer eternal gift to anyone who accept, who believe, repent, and baptize based on 2:38 in the book of Acts. I pray that you make that decision. And if you want to know more about our church and more about how to become a Christian, write on that card, Pastor David, contact, or talk to me right afterward. So I'm going to do a prayer. And the praise team will do the music, their clothes, and we honor our Lord because what he did on the cross is why we're here.
Amen.
And by the way, if you look in the bottom of your sheet, I gave you some reading assignments. One in the 1 Corinthians 12, I talk about the member of the body, and it helps you understand why it's important to get one in there. And the other reading assignment that I like you read is 1 John 1, it talks about the fellowship with our Lord. And just take some time and read. So I encourage you to be part of the small group, a start one, and start get to know our brother and sister and get that joy. Because I love hanging out with Jerry and Bob and Rich. And don't be surprised that I'll be driving the truck someday. It's going to happen. I just don't know it yet.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we come here as we celebrate the church, what they did. They continue to do four things, apostle teaching, fellowship, and breaking the bread, and prayer. And this moment, we want to take a moment to honor you as we take the unleavened bread that represents your body, your teaching. And also, we're going to take the fruit of the divine that represents the blood that covers our sin. God, we worship you, and we thank you as we just take this moment to focus you. Thank you for the resurrection, and thank you for our Lord. And I just thank you for all the people here to be able to spend time to worship and celebrate you. Lord, I know our life is busy. Would you open their schedule and find a place for them to fellowship in the middle of the week, whether it's just sharing their life, their home, and restaurant, and get to know one another, and just shine the way you want it. The fellowship is so critical in our life. I'd love to see everyone here to be mature. And we do that by our prayer, and Bible study, and mingle with one another. God, we give you praise and glory. In your name we do pray.